Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and we got such a treat for you today. We got Flower Bomb, which is probably one of my new favorite bands. Just going to throw that out there now early so that we set the tone of the whole episode of incredibleness. So let's just get right into it. Here's Flower Bomb's first song, Billy.
Thank you.
That was Philly by Flower Bomb. So let's go around, get to know everybody, know what they play, know what their voice sound like, so you memorize it and then follow it throughout the rest of the show. So
I'm Danny BH. I play drums for Flower Bomb.
I'm Rachel Klein. I sing and play guitar for Flower Bomb.
I'm Charles Scheider. I do the guitar.
I'm Nat Brown. I play bass, synth, and background vocals.
So I want to know how Flower Bomb got together, because when I go check the Facebook, that hard-hitting news source of social media, it leads me to Rachel, your solo work. But now that you guys are a band, I want to know how everyone got together.
Yeah, well, so I guess since I was 14, I started going to open mics at the Lab All Ages, which Dan was running at the time and hosting, and then Nat was also playing songs at the open mic. So we had known each other for a long time, and Dan became like one of my mentors. And I had reached out, I think just like a Facebook post, and I was like, hey, like I want to play some music over the summer with a band, like who wants to like help me out? And Dan and Nat both reached out, and I was really excited because I had like always looked up to both of them, like through playing the open mic and stuff. And then Charles, who I was just like Facebook friends with and we never talked, reached out too, and then we got to know each other and became really close. So yeah, it was really
cool. Sick.
When you came together, where was I going with that? So you came together through the open mics at the Lab and on Facebook. How long ago was this? Because I know your last solo EP came out Valentine's Day, or that was the demo tracks of 2016.
Yeah, so that was about a year ago. But we came together, like, was it two summers ago?
We started playing, so the backup, the 2016 Valentine's Day demos became Flower Bomb songs. Prior to that, Rachel released an EP in 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
And 2015. And that's real. And then previously, she recorded a solo record with me in 2014, correct?
I think so.
2014. So in 2015, we became the Rachel Klein Band. And we started practicing, I guess, in early summer 2015. Yeah. And we were just learning the songs that Rachel had just released on the Manic Pixie Dream Girl EP that she recorded in
Minnesota.
And then so we started jamming those and getting to know Charles. I've never met Charles before. I think we all kind of met Charles
at first practice,
which was kind of cool because I've never experienced that playing.
With
so many people before. It was like a blind date that never went away. It's good stuff. And I've been playing with Nat for years with Oklahoma Car Crash. So I think the band just really started to like kind of click. We learned the songs, and then we wrote two songs that became Flower Bomb songs, which was a song called E major 7 and Fleeting. And those were the first two. And then we went on tour together.
Yeah.
Very quickly and in release for the Manic Pixie Dream Girl EP. So that's kind of the history of the band. And then when we came Flower Bomb, I believe right before Mac Rock last year.
Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah.
I think April we changed the name.
We had to message them to change it.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. And so we decided that like it became, because at first it was just like I was writing songs and then they were kind of helping bring my vision to life. But then as time went on, it became more of like I felt like my songs were being shaped by them, and it was more of a collaborative process. So it wasn't just like Rachel Klein anymore. It was everybody together, and I felt like it was more of a collaborative project than a solo thing.
So now when you are writing songs, do they kind of just get fleshed out during practice? You get a riff in your head, start playing it, and then everyone starts filling in from there? Or are you still kind of off on your own, you write a song, bring it to the group, and then everyone helps you fill it in from there.
So far, it's just been mostly, like, I'll come up with, like, the bare bones of a song, and then I'll bring it to a practice, or sometimes me and Dan will just have writing sessions together, and we will, like, restructure the entire song and come up with parts. So a lot of times, like, what I come in with is a completely different song than how it ends.
All right. One thing I noticed when I was going through your catalog of work is a lot of the descriptions for the EPs, it says that the songs are helping with kind of expressing some mental health issues and everything. Is that pattern still continuing in Flower Bomb? Because the songs you played tonight, they were incredibly good.
Thank you.
And I think part of that comes from there's got to be a story behind them and there's got to be something big that happened. Do you see that trend continuing in future music?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of my, like, biggest inspirations is a lot of my mental health issues or just, like, experiences that I have. A lot of that is, like, intertwined.
Now, where would you guys say you pull a lot of your influence from? Because I listened to some of the solo stuff, and you definitely have your set rock kind of folky sound there. And then what I hear today, like, there's a lot more punk, there's a lot more energy influence in that. Where would you say a lot of that influence is coming from?
Oof, that's a big question.
I honestly think it comes from all of us. I mean, all of us have completely different backgrounds in playing in music, and we're all in other bands pretty much besides Rachel. Me and Nab have been playing together for a long time, and I think our musical influences are kind of a big deal for the shape of and our style of music, honestly. Yeah. Like, what we like, I'm a completely different drummer for this band than I am for Oklahoma Car Crash.
Yeah.
But I think we all kind of have these influences that like are part the way the stylistics of Nat's bass lines and you know, the guitar lines that Charles writes, and you know, Rachel's songwriting is really like just having like this whole like next level take on every song that she does. Like, any song that she brings gets like just better and better. And the styles change, the genres kind of change, and I think we kind of bend with those.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, who are your influences?
As far as like
for this band.
For this band is, and for what I like bring to this band, a big one is actually Los Campesinos. Something I really admire about that band is the way they experiment and the way they use like different instruments for different things and what those can influence in the sound and the vibe of a song. So I like to listen to them before we work on something, because they kind of like rack my brain a little bit, and so I start thinking about different things I can do. From my perspective in this band, you know, playing bass or whatever, and how like the certain things that you add can really make a song, like, can really change it up.
Well, everyone else who knows me knows I love Block Party, so I'm gonna have to go with that. I mean, I'm assuming no one can see my pedal board right now because they're looking at a computer screen, but it's pretty big. I want to make it bigger. A lot of the parts I write, like, when I'm writing them, like, I'm usually just jamming on my own. Like, they send me, like, a phone demo, and, like, I'm listening to their parts, you know, trying to come up with something. But I'm always thinking, like, what effects can I put on this? So, like, I write the part, and then I put on effect, and I'm like, sounds sick. Then I go with it.
I feel like my influences really change a lot. Like, just depending on, like, I go through phases where I, like, really listen to certain albums a lot, and then, like, every time I have a new one of those phases, I feel like my songwriting is influenced by that. But I think Dan will probably agree.
It's going to be the same answer.
What, Little Big League? Yeah. I'm really inspired by Michelle Zahner. Zahner? Zahner?
Zahner.
Yeah. her songwriting is like unbelievable. I'm really inspired by the Crutchfield sisters, Katie Crutchfield from Waxahachie and Allison from Swearin', and they all have like a bunch of different projects. But I think the one thing that's like in common from all the things that I'm really influenced by for songwriting is I really like a lot of artists that talk a lot about womanhood and their experience with that. I think it's I really like the way that especially Little Big League is able to kind of talk about that experience in a way that's not the way that like most people would do it. It's very different. It's very raw. And I aspire to do that in my own way.
The album, These Are Good People by Little Big League, has been a huge influence on my life, honestly. But I feel being able to play this type of music with this band, I'm able to kind of like let the influence of that album kind of wash over the sound really of the band, and then some drumming stuff. But you know, I also like help produce some of the songs for Flower Bomb, so I think that record and that band and Japanese Breakfast and anything that Michelle Zahner is a part of, you know, is a big factor. And then also like you know, anyone that knows me, my favorite band is Third Eye Blind. So I'm all about like production and like big rock with lots of layers and lots of really kind of, I don't know, like delicate parts to it. And I think this band has that, you know, has that power, but it also has these really delicate pieces that make people want to cry. And,
yeah.
and I would say those two bands, definitely.
Delicate like a flower, dangerous like a bomb.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh.
Whoa.
Mind Wait, blown. Was that on purpose?
Whoa. All right, well, let's move on to a little segment we have on the show called Five Questions. I'm going to ask you five questions everyone gets asked and answer them as slowly or quickly as you want. Because with the magic of editing, we can make it sound quick. So here it is. Cue the music. It's time for Five Questions. All right, what's the worst gig you've ever had?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
Trying to...
See, that's a hard question because, like, you don't want to throw anything under the bus. We played a show...
It didn't have to do with the gig, though. It had to do with us.
Just describe the gig. You just described the situation. You don't have to say a specific place.
Oh, God. This venue at this time was terrible. I want to know what your answer is, though.
I hope it's the same answer.
Yeah, does everyone have the same answer?
I think.
I don't think we need to say the actual name of the venue or anything like that. It had to do with personal things. It had nothing to do with...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that, you know what? That's not a quick answer, Keegan, but like, that's a big, like if your band is not, like, in a good mental state, then that throws the whole show off. Also, like, you know, poor coordination and, you know...
And losing your cell phone just, in the like, sewer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can make a show terrible.
I had a different one in mind. But okay.
Really?
What are you thinking?
Really?
I don't want to say now. For me, Brooklyn.
Really?
Yep.
I loved Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
For me, personally, I hated that show.
That was a rough show. That was a rough show.
I think I mostly just liked it because I'd never been on tour before.
Yeah. The show we were talking about, it was...
I rocked at that show, so I don't know.
It was mostly just...
I didn't.
Communication issues among ourselves. I was crying a lot, but it ended up being a good experience because we learned how to communicate better. So I think, overall, it was just we miscommunicated. There was some weird stuff that happened, and... Nothing terrible. It was just
except for losing your phone in the sewer.
Except that was
Well, not you, but
a person lost their phone in the sewer.
Don't worry, Ninja Turtles will find it.
Can you edit that to make it sound good?
All right. We'll just go to the next one. What's the worst equipment malfunction you've had on stage?
There was two shows in a row this past summer, I think, where our keyboard just didn't work. It would work at practice, and then we get to the show, and it just stopped. And it was really, like, frustrating.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing of being, like, a DIY band and being, like, in the punk scene, you know, is that, like, everybody wants to share gear, and, like, that's all well and great. And then when somebody says, yeah, we got this house kit, and you get there, and, like, you know, it doesn't have, like, you know, drum skins on it or something like that. And then, like, we learn through all this stuff. And I think our sound is, our equipment is, like, really important to us. And we're still just starting to build up. I mean, Rachel's using pedals for the first time and for the past year. And like we're getting new amps and, you know, Nat bought a bass amp and we're using keys now. We're kind of doing this full sound. So it's kind of hard to like use other people's gear. I think like after the last couple shows we played, I just said, I don't care if they have a set. I'm bringing my drum set and leaving it in the car. And if it's not what I can play, then we'll just piece it together or just bring my own.
I would say literally anytime my AC adapter comes unplugged. That's the worst.
Does that happen often?
Not anymore.
That's good.
It used to when my board was smaller.
Yeah, I'm constantly breaking sticks on a song that we play. Typically at shows, which we played today.
And he broke a stick.
Broke a stick during that take on one of the takes. I definitely broke a stick.
What's the dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour?
Does it specifically have to be this band?
No, if it's a good story, it's a good story.
But okay. So I was on tour a long, long, long time ago by myself as Oklahoma Car Crash, and I love Huntington, West Virginia. Like it's a great, great town to play shows in. Believe it or not, but I stayed with some friends at a house called the Elimination Chamber, and it was awesome, wrestling reference and everything, but you know, punk house. Yeah, it was definitely a punk house, and there was a bunch of us staying over because it was like a huge show. We played with Ramshackle Glory. It was super cool, and there was just a whole lot of us in a very hot house, and that, like, I just remember it very well, and I remember the sweat. And I will always associate that night with punk house and tour and what it can be like to be on like kind of the worst end of a sleeping situation on tour. But don't get me wrong, I loved it because I just love that feeling. But yeah, I think that it counts as the dirtiest or whatever.
If we're talking sweatiest, I would have to say Amherst, Massachusetts.
That was sweaty.
But it wasn't dirty.
It wasn't dirty at all.
It wasn't dirty, but it was very sweaty. Very, very sweaty.
I think any place that a band stays on tour, especially the one tour we went on, was just like, it was just so like awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And like everything was like really cool. And I know there's bands out there that have been on tour that obviously have not had those experiences, but we really lucked out when we went. And yeah.
Now, what's the closest you've come to quitting music?
Being in my other band.
That time that Dan threw his headphones against the wall way back in the day. I'm answering for him. There's a lot to choose from.
You know, that's a good question. Is the question how many times or... No, seriously,
the
what's
closest.
The question?
Oh, the closest? The closest you've come.
You know,
music.
I think there's been times. As Rachel was talking about earlier, I've been kind of in the music scene, you know, in all different aspects of it for, I'm so old. I don't know, like 18 years, like a really long time. Since I was 15, and I think, producing music, engineering music, playing in multiple bands, playing music, drums for just other bands and stuff. I think there's definitely been times where, I work two jobs. I think there's definitely been times where it's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore right now. And it's usually just because I'm exactly what I just said. I'm doing too much, you know. And I think in the past year, this was interesting for me. as a human being, was to kind of rest more. And, you know, I stopped recording bands, about a year ago to kind of just focus on these two bands, Oklahoma Car Crash and Flower Bomb. You know, I record every once in a while, and if I'm recording, it's basically just these two bands. And I think that's definitely has helped with my sanity of not leaving or quitting or walking out of a band. So that's definitely a good thing, is, you know, being well rested so you don't come to that. And also, this band gets along super well. We have a very dynamic relationship. Like Rachel was saying, I've known Rachel for a really long time, become a mentor to her over the past couple of years, and I feel the same way about Nat, meeting Charles and getting to know them. I don't think that would really happen, fingers crossed. But I also feel like we're a type of band that if somebody needed to like bow out, we would be completely understand that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Our communication, like Rachel said, is really on par now. You know, when we have band meetings and band conversations, we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about when we're going to practice next. We're talking about how do we become a better band? How do we become tighter? How do we like master our craft? How do we kind of do this, like, not professionally, but like at a, like a very like professional level, like, you know, just kind of doing everything yourself, but like doing it like in a very like professional way. So it's a really awesome learning experience, in my opinion. So I would never quit you guys.
No, I feel the same way. I think like I've never gone to a point where I like felt like I was gonna quit music. I've definitely gone through periods where I wasn't as dedicated or focused, like with mental health issues, or I have like chronic pain, and that makes it sometimes really discouraging to play when I just don't feel up to it. But yeah, like Dan said, I mean, when we have band meetings, like we talk about that stuff. Like the last band meeting we had, we talked about like our dedication levels and what was going on, and we talk about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so I think, yeah, like Dan said, if anyone needed to take a break or needed, like, we would completely understand.
It's the same for me. Really, like within the last year, I've had to move out on my own, work two jobs, be in two bands. It's a lot of work. So
I don't feel like I've ever, fortunately, ever gotten to a point where I was like, oh, I want to stop playing music. There have definitely been times where I've considered it, mostly years ago, where it's just like, something's not clicking, something's not working. Like, is this what I want to do? I'm still young. I have all these options. Do I go to college? Do I not? I didn't. Here I am. And I'm super happy about that. And I'm really glad that I didn't go that route. And I feel very fortunate that I haven't gotten to a point that I would want to quit doing this.
What's the best memory you have together as a band?
Oh, there's so many.
So many.
I know, really.
All right. You go first.
Oh my God, that's so hard. I don't know. What comes to mind is like, well, it's so hard. I have like three different things.
Just name them.
Okay, well, tour was great. And like, I'll always remember that as one of my favorite, just across the board. Like, the entire thing was just one of my favorite memories ever. Made me realize this is what I want to do forever. But in general, I think some of my favorite memories is when we just go and eat food, get tater tots, and laugh and be stupid and, I don't know, make inside jokes. Yeah.
A lot of inside jokes with this band.
I mean, I could also say tour, but there's one specific part of tour, and it's when we were in New Jersey. I loved everything about being in New Jersey, which is a weird thing to say.
Never heard anyone say that.
I know, right?
You heard it here first, folks.
My dad would be very proud of me, but everything about it, staying with Mike and everyone from City Limits and Destination Dogs.
Yeah.
I go there all the time because my girlfriend's family lives in Connecticut. So we stop there halfway through to get dinner whenever we go visit. And it's just amazing.
I think my favorite, or at least memory or moment, technically, there's two. There, you know, when you're a band in this area, you have a lot of goals and places that you would be really honored to play. And I think when we first, like, got ready at Rock and Roll Hotel for a Breadown Throwdown and then playing at the Black Cat were just two moments that I will remember. Just because it's a, in a weird way, it's validating. You know, not everyone needs to play there. Like, it's not like, but for me personally, I was like extremely excited and I was really happy that this was the band I was doing it with. And meeting that goal finally as a musician in the DC area was just definitely one of my favorite things. Just to be like recognized to an extent that like you can do that. And we still have so much more room to grow that I'm going to remember those shows specifically because being born and raised here, it just meant a lot.
I think overall for me and these guys probably know this, and I think there are times that we have together that are indebted like in my memory, and I love hanging out with these guys and being friends with them. But on an important scale for me, why I do what I do, you know, their development and seeing that kind of happen is very, very important to me. I value that stuff a lot. And I've been kind of doing this for about 10 years now, and definitely my favorite people, and that I get to make music with them and not just for them is really special for me. And not to get sappy and stuff, but that's just like the real deal. Like, and we've talked about this, like, I'm not in this band because I want to play drums for this band. I'm in this band because I want to play music with these certain people, and I want to see their development get better and better. And if I'm a part of that journey and that helps them, that's great. And also there's a big trust factor. They trust me and I trust them. I think when you have that dynamic, you always have really good times and you have really good conversations and you have these inside jokes, and they're hilarious, by the way. It doesn't just end with the band, you know, like Nat and I talk, you know, as friends, and Rachel will call me if something's going on. Charles and I haven't got to that point yet, but we will, because that's important to me, and that's the dynamic for me to be in this band. So everything is funny, everything is great.
Well, let's get some more music going. This next song is, you guessed it, by Flower Bomb. It's called "It's Not You," correct? Yes.
It's not you, it's me.
Oh, it's not you, it's me. I've heard that.
Hashtag relatable.
So here it is. It's not you, it's me, by Flower Bomb.
Thank you.
That was It's Not You, It's Me by Flower Bomb. Now we got some stuff to promote, some hip happenings to tell you about so you know what's going on in and around town or in your community. First off, I want to really drive the point home. Go to open mics. There are a whole bunch of open mics. No matter where you are in this country, world, galaxy, I bet you there's an open mic. So just you Google it. But if you want a good recommendation for one I like to go to every Thursday night at Epicure Cafe, there's a lovely open mic, great pizza, great company, great people, wonderful music. So go to that. But I'm going to hand it over to Flower Bomb because they want to tell you about a very exciting festival they're playing. So what is this festival?
We are very excited to be playing Breakin' Even Fest. I believe it's May 5th and May 6th at Songbird in D.C. There's a lot of really cool bands playing. I am personally extremely excited to be playing with the Sidekicks on night one. They're a band that I've been listening to for a long time, and I'm just really honored. Me and Dan as Oklahoma Car Crash with our friend Tommy played Breakin' Even last year, and it was an incredible event. It was a lot of fun, and I'm just really excited to be going back.
Yeah, like on last year, it was Steve Rovery from American Television put this on, and we were really pumped to play it. But I just remember Rachel and I went to night one, and we had the best time, and we weren't playing it. We just went, and it was just, I just was like looking around, and I was like, I'd never been to Songbird before, and I guess they were kind of recently new, and just so stoked to just be there. And I was like, wow, I haven't had like this much fun at like a local festival since Fest 2. Mm-hmm. So it was like really fun. And then we played it the next night. So when Steve reached out to us to ask if we wanted to play, I think we were one of the last bands to get added. We're very pumped. So we're going to be opening night one on May 5th at Songbird, and I believe it's $30 for both days, and there's a ton of bands, and they have a bunch of really cool like prize giveaways and just some really cool stuff going on, and some distro and vendors and stuff. So it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, and Songbird's an awesome venue too. I'm really excited that we'll get to play there for the first time.
Now I believe you also have a EP and a couple singles in the works.
Yeah, so the singles will be coming out in April and May. We have two songs that are going to be released. And then we have just finished writing an EP, and we're going to be recording that really soon. And
no prospective date on the EP. We are still writing that. We are wrapping that up, and then we're going to be rehearsing that to go to a studio to record it. But yeah, but I'm really pumped about finishing up the writing process. And in the meantime, we're going to be dropping these two singles. We're going to self-release both of these. We're going to have different artwork for each one. And then there is talk about releasing a tape with both of those singles on it, with two additional songs, either demo tracks from this EP or maybe some acoustic versions. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. And then the second single will be released right when Breakin' Even is. So very pumped for that. Very pumped.
So stay tuned. Is there social medias people can dial into, AOL keyword it?
Yeah. So we have a Facebook and an Instagram. I believe that's all. Right?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Instagram is what? Flower Bomb Band?
Yeah, Flower Bomb Band. And then our Facebook, I think, is just
Flower Bomb.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we don't have anything up on our Bandcamp yet, but we'll be we'll be putting up our Bandcamp and the artwork pretty soon. And then we'll have those singles released really soon. So that'll be, I think it's flowerbombbandva.bandcamp.com.
All right. So drop what you're doing right now. Go over Facebook, like them, follow them, Instagram. You know the drill. All right, everyone tells you the social media drill. I don't need to repeat that. So, time for some shows to tell you about. First show, on April 8th, I am very excited for this show. Milo and the Doldrums and the Dusk Whales are playing at Jam and Java, and the Dusk Whales are releasing their new album. You don't even understand, man. This album's going to be so tight. oh, I'm so excited for this one. So that's going to be a really cool show to go to. So go to it. Be fun. I'll be there. Other people will be there. Just meet people if you want. Become friends. Don't make friends. I don't care, but just go. Get the album. Big thank you to Ken Barnum and Mark Ryder for producing and mixing and making everything sound so lovely. What you're hearing now is they're responsible. Otherwise, I'd just be talking in an empty room by myself. A very big thank you to Bias Studios for hosting us and having us, letting us use their lovely facilities. Go check them out online at Bias Studios. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Be sure to follow Mark and Ken at Mark Ryder Music, at Ken Barnum. They're on there too. They can show you all the cool projects they're working on. And while you're doing all your social media likes and follows, Castathetic, you know, like it, follow it, tweet it, share it with your friends. Your friends that don't have this show, they don't have this show. They're missing out. So share it with them. Go on now. We got one more song that this band's played for you tonight that I give up. Like, every song I just incredible.
Thank you.
Lasting impression on me. This last song is Sorry, and I'm kind of curious if there's a story behind this song that you'd like to share.
Oh my God, I don't even know where to begin. a lot of songs that I write, like, come from, like, a lot of different places. It's, like, usually, like, a headspace that I'm in, and then, like, so it's not necessarily, like, one specific story or one specific feeling, but it's definitely, like, anyone who knows me knows that I apologize too much or say sorry too much, and I was just going through a lot of different stuff with people in my life and just feeling really inadequate and feeling like every day was the same. And I kind of put together a bunch of stories and a bunch of different feelings that I had from that particular time and a bunch of apologies that I kept feeling like I needed to say and tried to put it into something that was a little bit more empowering for me.
Well, here it is. You guys, you don't listen, you don't have to apologize. But here it is. It's Sorry by Flower Bomb. I'm Keaton Buse. Listen to this song, enjoy it, and then re-listen to the whole episode again because all these songs are amazing.
Betrayed me and I've seen too much. Can I really go?